Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Warning: Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, how are you? How has your week been? It's wonderful to see you. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, my week's been pretty good. I've been a little under the weather with some, I don't know, probably some viral thing that I'm blaming I got from the Swifties. So you can hear in my voice that it goes in and out. And anyways, yeah, so I'm blaming the Swifties for this little viral thing I got going on because it's been going on since I went to the concert. But otherwise, my week's been pretty good. Saints lost again today, so there's that.
No, there you go.
Lost the last 7 games.
Well, at least they're consistent. And I do like the idea that, like, you're blaming it on some viral thing, but really your voice is just gone because you were like, we are never, ever, ever. You're just singing your heart
get
out super hard.
Together.
Just going crazy at the concert. Like, oh, it's got to be some viral thing. I'm not even a Taylor Swift fan. I just know it's every word to every song. Well, I'm sorry that you're feeling under the weather, but hopefully you rebound soon. And definitely super happy to be back with you. We're out of Halloween. We're moving into November. I can promise you we're not doing a full month of Thanksgiving episodes because honestly it would just be too hard to do.
Yeah, too many people boil people for the holidays. We learned that last year.
Yep, treating their
but
loved
I will
ones.
Say we're not moving too far from Halloween because this case was the case I was supposed to do when we didn't do our Monday episode. So we're going to still be at the end of October for this case.
Yeah, this is the one we were supposed to do when I found myself in the emergency room. So apologize about that, but I'm glad that we're able to get to it.
You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah, but
I'm glad you're better.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm doing better as well and making some lifestyle choices. So hopefully I will be around to do this podcast for a lot longer. So
yeah, because I realized I wouldn't know what to do. There would be no more.
Nobody would even know. It would just go off the
Facebook group would know. I could make a post in the Facebook group. I could handle that. But the rest of the world, they're on their own.
Yeah. Well, luckily that's not going to happen. I'm here for the long haul and hope to be doing this for a really long time. So, and again, if you reached out or anything like that, thank you so much for doing so. I promise I'm okay. Just working on getting some things under control, but happy to be back, happy to be doing it, and happy to get into this case because this is one of the ones that you wanted to cover that was on our Halloween radar, and we didn't really get a chance to go through it. So I'm excited that we're getting to go back and do it, talk about it. I know it is a little short from what I see in the notes, but I think it'll lead to some good conversation with what I'm seeing here, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to dive into. So what do you think? Should we quit with the Gabby Gabby, get into the Stabby Stabby, jump into this week's case?
I think so.
Let's do it.
On the morning of October 31st, 1981, a nun made a startling discovery. Fellow nun Sister Tadea Benz was found deceased in her second floor bedroom. She had blood on her face, but there was no suspicion of foul play, according to the nuns living in the St. Francis Convent. Her body was transported to the funeral home. The Amarillo, Texas police arrived shortly after they received a 911 call. By this time, Sister Benz's body had been moved to the funeral home. Later on, one of the sisters found a broken window in the community room. This room was on the first floor of the convent. Immediately, Amarillo police arrived to secure the scene. Shockingly, police found a lot of evidence suggesting Sister Benz's death was a homicide. They were able to recover bed linens and found a bloody kitchen knife under the bed. Detectives were also able to retrieve fingerprints from the knife and the handle. The headboard was also dusted for fingerprints. As they looked closer at the broken window, it appeared that the screen had been cut out. Detectives searched the perimeter of the convent, finding another knife in the driveway. When police realized they were handling a possible murder, they quickly notified the funeral home. However, her body had been partially cleansed and embalmed. Pathologists performed an autopsy revealing multiple injuries to the head, stab wounds to the chest, and excoriation to her neck. There were signs of external bleeding and internal trauma to her vagina. Testing proved evidence of sperm from the vaginal canal. Sister Benz's cause of death was ruled by manual strangulation. Police patrolled the neighborhood asking for potential witnesses. One reported seeing their fellow neighbor running from the direction of the convent the night of the murder. This was Johnny Frank Garrett. Garrett was a 17-year-old man living across the street from the convent. Police needed to bring him in for questioning. A search warrant would find that the knife found in the driveway of the convent would be identical to the knives found in Garrett's home. Johnny Frank Garrett was arrested on November 9, 1981. The prosecution told a story of how Garrett brutally attacked and raped 76-year-old Sister Benz. Garrett was ultimately found guilty of murder and sentenced to death. He was placed on death row at Texas Ellis Unit Prison. His initial execution date was set for January 6, 1992. He was spared on that date at the request of Pope John Paul II. However, the Texas Board of Pardons would vote 17-0 to uphold his death sentence. On February 11, 1992, now 29-year-old Johnny Frank Garrett was executed by lethal injection. His last words were, "I'd like to thank my family for loving me and taking care of me. The rest of the world can kiss my ass." Now, this is where it gets interesting. There is growing speculation that an innocent man was executed. After his death, mental health experts claim that Garrett had one of the most virulent histories of abuse and neglect from his family. See, Garrett was regularly beaten by his stepfather, the same man who raped and forced Johnny to perform sexual acts in front of a camera. He was introduced to drugs and alcohol at the young age of 10, and the experts felt that he suffered from brain damage from drug use and paint thinner. Now, this was not used during the trial, but in 2004, DNA evidence linked a man named Leoncio Perez Ruda to the murder of Sister Benz. Shortly before Benz's murder, Perez pled guilty to committing the rape and murder of another woman, Narnie Bryson. Since this new information, a Texas attorney, Jesse Quackenbush, had brought more attention to the case, creating a documentary called The Last Word. Now, Quackenbush hopes that this will raise awareness of the severity of the death penalty, hoping that this can bring change to Texas lawmakers. So that's this week's case. I know it's short, but I didn't want to not do it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, even though it's short, there's a lot of really interesting pieces in this, right? Like, because you're thinking about the year that it happened. We're looking at 1981. We're also looking at Amarillo, Texas, right? Which is, you know, even today, I think is very much like a crime and punishment kind of state, right? Where it's like, yep, you have that same kind of knife in your house. That's it. You did it, right?
Yeah.
Where
and witnesses saw him running from the convent.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because you have this eyewitness report of Johnny Frank Garrett running from, you know, the convent. And then, yes, it's the same kind of knife that he has in his home, but there's no fingerprints on the murder weapon, anything of that nature. Then you get to 2004, you know, the crime happened in 1981. We can't properly process DNA like we can, you know, in the early 2000s. That DNA points back to Perez Ruda. And what I found was really interesting is that there is a group of people who believe that either Perez Ruda did it on his own and they got the wrong person with Johnny Frank Garrett, or that they may have acted as a team and only one of them was caught at the time. And, you know, it's just really interesting because you look at, you know, Garrett's childhood and drug use and like history, he fits that kind of mold of someone who may do something like this, but it's that DNA evidence from, you know, years later. I think it's also really interesting that the Pope gets involved in this too. And it's just like, hey, let's, you know, not just go killing somebody. You know what I mean?
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed Issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Yeah, I think it was more like the people of that community reached out and reached out and reached out, but it ultimately was, you know, halted because of an order from him. So yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know what really happened, and I don't know if this is one where we'll ever really know what happened. I wonder if they'll eventually bring back some of the evidence and test the stab wounds to the knife blades and like compare to the actual set or identical ones they found in Garrett's house, just like they do with ballistics, where you can tell like how the incision of like the slice was and if it pulled back skin, if it was serrated or not, those kind of things. If you could figure out a relationship between Perez Ruda and Garrett, and if they could have done it together where maybe Garrett didn't sexually assault her, but he did aid in the murder of her, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions that we may not have, and either way, Garrett has now, you know, succumbed to the death penalty.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of those things too, where it kind of makes me think of things that we've talked about on the podcast before, but it's like in the 80s, right? And before then, there was only so many things you could do, and you know, had to just kind of hope, unless it was like 100%. We have the person with the murder weapon in their hand, right? Or we caught the person there. Like the testing and things that we use now just didn't exist back then. And, you know, we see so many cases of people who were wrongfully convicted decades ago, you know, and they're freed much, much later. I was also doing a little digging as we were kind of talking about the way that the Pope and the church intervened. And apparently, from what I'm seeing here, it was because Garrett's attorneys had him tested, and the psychiatric evaluations basically said that he was insane. So because of the fact that he was, you know, determined to be insane because of his super violent upbringing, all the trauma he had gone through, like you said, the Pope had, you know, made a public outcry to have the execution stayed. And I guess at the time, the Texas governor was Ann Richards, and she decided to side with the Pope, saying that in this case, there were a few questions in my mind, and then to be petitioned by the sisters, who were really the only family that this victim had, to grant his 30-day delay, it seemed the right thing to do. And as I was digging into it, it looks like this really pissed off the district attorney at the time. So there's this guy, Danny Hill, who was the district attorney in Texas, and he basically said that justice had been thwarted. He regretted and resented the fact that the governor decided that she was going to be the judge and jury in this case, saying that Garrett was dangerous. He was a guy who would kill again, and he was the kind of person that the death penalty was made for. So it's really interesting to see, again, you know, this, the district attorney is like, I'm out for blood. Like, this dude needs to die. And then you have the church, who, you know, one of their members was the victim, and they were like, let's just put him life in prison. Like, he's obviously not mentally well. We don't think he should have to die for this. And I think that's a really,
right.
You don't see that very often, where it's the victim being like, hey, go easy on this guy, right? Like, there's something going on there.
Well, if we're talking deadbolt tests, what are you thinking?
You know, for me, I'm still going to put this kind of high. I think I'm going to put this about a 7, which I think is higher than maybe most people think I would put it. But at the essence of this story, right, it's a home invasion.
Like, you're afraid of those.
Yes. And the convent, you know, I'm sure that these nuns felt very so safe.
Secure.
Yeah. You know, whether you are a believer or not, like, to these nuns, this is the house of the Lord. You know, I'm sure that they're not victims of crimes normally, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so to be in this place that you consider sacred and safe, to be attacked there, you know, it must have been terrifying and totally surprising. And so I just kind of imagine what Sister Benz must have been going through and how scared she must have been. And then to think about how the other nuns now, they're like, oh, like, this really brings into light the fact that, like, we're not safe here either. You know what I mean? Right. And then, you know, you think about survivor's guilt. It's a whole convent of nuns just being like,
why her?
Yeah. Like, you know, and I do wonder, you know, being of faith and you know, I mean, if you're going to be a nun, like, you got the faith, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I do wonder if any of the, you know, God has a plan and things like that kind of help them get through it. But at the end of the day, it still had to be, you know, had to be terrifying to go through.
And very unsettling, just unsettling in the whole situation, at least until, I mean, it had been almost a week and a half before he actually got arrested. And then now we still don't even know if we have the right guy, but hopefully this Perez guy is still behind bars.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things where if we did get the wrong guy, you would want to hope that the universe has at least made sure. Yeah. Perez Ruda is doing some kind of
karma.
Yeah. You know, puts things in check. But what about you? Where would something like this fall for you?
Yeah, I think I might put it about a 6. You know, it is a home invasion. It is so many unanswered questions. And I just think it is unsettling to know that you could be in a place that's so sacred. And we talk about this as our homes. It's just we feel safe and secure in our homes. And once that security has been violated, what that must feel like. So I feel terrible for the other nuns in the convent. And, you know, Sister Benz was a 76-year-old woman. Like, that had to have been a terrifying experience. And anyways, yeah. So I'm going to put it at a 6.
Yeah, I just, you know, thinking about what that woman must have gone through. And again, in a place where, you know, it's supposed to be the house of the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, and I've talked about it on the show before. I'm not a huge, you know, religion person, things like that. But I can definitely respect the fact that, like, people believe to a point where they dedicate their lives to something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, you must just feel like you're safe. You know what I mean? Like, to know that she was in this place that was sacred to her and the other people that were there, and then something so brutal could happen, it's heartbreaking. So, I mean, I definitely get it. You know, I don't know, just hopefully the other nuns that were involved got the help that they needed. And, you know, I just hope the community healed, because I can imagine it'd be a shock for the entire community. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia is putting it at a 6. I'm coming in at a 7. But as always, we want to hear from you. Where does the murder of Sister Tadea Benz fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram with Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to get to know you. Love to spend some time with you. Again, say it all the time, but it really is my favorite place on the internet. We live in a world that is so highly divided right now that to see a group of people who I'm sure have different backgrounds and beliefs, everyone kind of comes together around, you know, the podcast and their love of true crime. And it's almost like, you know, the only place it feels like, for at least for me, where people are able to set aside those differences and everybody's just kind to each other and things like that. So if you are a member of that community, just know that we appreciate you so incredibly much. The environment that you help create, it really does mean the world. And if you would like to come and join us and be part of that community, you can use the link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. Come hang out with us. We'd love to spend some time with you. Well, Olivia, as always, you know, the case was heavy. Always good to have a little bit of a palate cleanser, end on a high note, something a little bit more upbeat. Do we have any reviews or Spotify comments? What do we got this week?
Yeah, this week we have a Spotify comment from Jindolino, and they commented on our episode titled A Killer Connection. And they said, love the podcast and love both of you. Have just started listening and almost caught up from the beginning and have seen or heard how your relationship has developed. Keep up the good work, guys. So thank you, Jindolino from Spotify, for listening to us.
Yeah, Jindolino, thank you for listening. Really appreciate you taking the time to leave the comment. Again, these Spotify comments help other listeners get engaged with the show. The reviews help other listeners find the podcast and things like that. So we really appreciate you taking the time to leave those nice words. And for folks who may not remember, if you haven't listened to it or need to go back to revisit, I believe the Killer Connection episode came out about 8 months ago, but that was the case where Jesse Allen, I think, had murdered his wife, but he was the same gentleman who was beaten to death alongside of Jeffrey Dahmer in prison.
Yeah, that's right.
So there
right.
was a, yeah, right. There was the connection between, you know, him and Dahmer, which was pretty interesting. So if I remember correctly, that's one that you brought, Olivia. So again, Jindolino, just thank you for taking the time to listen and share that feedback. And we want to hear from you, whether it's a Spotify comment, Apple podcast review, you know, send us a smoke signal, anything like that. Olivia, if somebody wants to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 of those stars, click those stars, and leave us a little bit of love and tell us what you think about Check the Locks.
That's right. Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. Apple Podcasts, click those stars. Let us know what you think. Again, it's going to help us get into other shows' recommendations, help new listeners find us, all that good stuff. So, again, if you've taken the time to leave us a review, just know we appreciate that more than we could tell you. If not, you can use the cheat code in the description of this episode. Click the link. It'll take you right there. And Olivia, normally we don't do this. However, this episode is coming out on Monday, and Tuesday is a very special day, right? It is election day, and I think you've been saying it, but what should people be doing on Tuesday?
They need to go vote. Everybody needs to use their right to vote and go, no matter what your opinion is, just go and put a vote out there.
Yeah, 110%. We would never, you know, sit here and say, you know, go vote for this person, go vote for that person, because we know that our community is very diverse. And again, we may have different beliefs or different backgrounds, things like that. But, you know, we do have the ability to vote. It is a right that we have that we need to exercise. And it is important that you make your voice heard. I know a lot of the times it feels like if you're not in a swing state or something like that, like, does it really matter? But at the end of the day,
every vote, you know, counts.
110%. So, you know, just make sure if you haven't early voted already or anything like that, make sure you're exercising that right. Get out and vote. And again, just cast your voice for what you believe in, because we think it's super important here. So, and with that being said, if you like the show, you want to help us to keep the lights on, financially support us, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us out, throw us a few bones. That is patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, that's what you're doing, you're telling people to listen, hey, here's a link, I really like this case, check it out, just know that we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. Again, it's that grassroots growth. It's going to help us reach more listeners and really grow our family. So if you are sharing this, just know that from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate you more than we could ever say. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed Issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.